come together on this day that the Lord has blessed us with. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to give our all this morning in worship. Good morning. We want to thank you for joining us for worship this morning on this cold, wet day the Lord has blessed us with. We are glad that you have decided to join us via Facebook Live this morning with your friends and family. We hope that you're touched by the time of singing and worship. We encourage you to sing along. Join us in prayer. Join us in scripture reading this day as we seek to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we worship this day. For those that are watching on our online or our website, or those that will be watching via our DVD ministry a little bit later on, we hope that you are blessed with a day that the Lord is going to grant you wisdom and peace, and we hope you'll join in worship during this time of celebration this day. As we do gather here this morning, I hope you'll continue to join us virtually on Facebook Live in the coming days. And during the month of February, we will continue our 10 a.m. virtual worship service. We pray that times will soon be changing where we can gather back inside these walls again. But until then, know that we can gather as God's family across the county and across the state, and who knows, even across our nation this morning in our time of worship this day. I do want to remind our Vision Leadership team that we do have a meeting Monday night at 6:30 p.m. That meeting will be via Zoom. I sent out the Zoom link earlier this week. If you have any trouble or any questions about that, Vision Leadership Team members, please contact me today or tomorrow, but I look forward to meeting with you tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. We also hope the entire church family will join us on Wednesday night as we continue our winter Bible study, as we look at the prison letters of Colossians and Philemon written by Paul so many years ago, and the message they still play a factor in our life today. I hope you'll join us this Wednesday as we're in session 4. We have been reading Colossians, and this week we'll be concluding the second chapter of Colossians and moving into the first couple of verses in chapter 3. So I hope you'll join with me 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live on Wednesday night. If you can't on Wednesday, I encourage you to go to our Facebook page and look back at the past sessions and look at this session after Wednesday night and join us in the time of Bible study that we're all called to do. Also, as we transition into the month of February, as we gather this last day of January, we will be doing a couple mission collections during the month of February that I wanted to make you aware of. Again, we want to thank you for all your generosity during the month of January. During the month of February, two collections will take place. The first collection is we'll be collecting canned food items for Salvation Army. If you look at your bulletin this morning, you look at your newsletter, send this out by way of email this week. There are a list of items that they're specifically asking. These are items they place in their boxes to give to the families that come to Salvation Army. So I encourage you to look at that list. We are at the grocery store this week or the next week or the week after. Pick up some of those items and place them. We'll have a basket, a bin outside our door like we did this past month for our sock collection. You can just swing by and drop all your canned food or the items that you're bringing for the Salvation Army in there. That's the first collection. The second collection is, since the month of February is a month of love, that is, you go to any store, that's what you see up, our hearts everywhere, everything red, especially for Valentine's Day. So we decided, the mission team decided, that during the month of February, we wanted to collect a love offering for Carson and Laura Fushi, our CBF missionaries in Japan. So I hope over the next couple weeks that you will feel called and led to contribute toward this love offering that we'll be sending to them. We know this is a way that we can support them across the sea. We know that they're doing important work in Japan and their missions work. But during the month of February, you can donate and bring your envelopes by the church. You can mail them in. Just make sure you designate it that it's for Carson and Laura Fushi. Our deadline for that offering is going to be Sunday, February 28th. We'll be sending that money to Carson and Laura shortly after that. So please consider to contribute to this love offering for Carson and Laura so we can show them the support that they need during this time. We are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are gathered here to participate in worship, not just to observe worship, but to participate in worship. So this morning, I hope you'll stand up when we sing. I hope you'll go to prayer when we have our prayers. Read your Bible when we have our scripture reading. But let's worship our Lord and Savior this morning together.
In Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Let's stand and let's sing "The Joy of the Lord."
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 30. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12, the entire psalm this morning. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called to the Lord. I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction? Am I going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Going back on those words just for a moment, you removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That is what we're clothed with this morning as we worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are clothed with joy. And celebrating that joy this morning, let us go to the Lord this day. Eternal and ever-present God, sustain and excite our gathered virtual community this morning. Arouse our expectancy while also subduing our expectations. Come, silent spirit, and embrace us. Let the words we see and hear and speak and sing be transformed by the word made flesh, that our worship may be wholly yours, O Lord, our God. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, this morning. Amen.
Our next song that we're going to sing this morning is the one that we did as a special last week called Waymaker. And the first time that I heard this song was with a group of ladies that when we went to Pigeon Forge for the Women of Joy Conference, and Michael W. Smith sang this. And so stand up and sing along with us. The words will be behind me on the screen or on the website, on the paper. And let's worship together Waymaker.
hope you were joining in our singing this morning, a beautiful song. Thank you, ladies, for leading us in worship this day. And I want to thank all those that were gathered in our sanctuary this day. It was not the ideal weather situation this morning. We were fearful about snow and ice, and we've got a lot of rain going on. And our prayer is that all of y'all are staying safe, but I'm thankful for their faithfulness for gathering in this place today to help lead in worship. As we turn to our attention to our ministry highlight this morning, on Sunday, February 7th, next Sunday, one of our dear church members here at First Baptist Elon and is one of our nursing home residents, Miss Marie Wills, will be celebrating her 100th birthday. Now, if you know Marie and you ask her how old she was for any time in the last 10 years, she would never tell you this. So I may get in a little bit of trouble this morning by saying this, but next Sunday, Marie will be celebrating her 100th birthday. Many of us have been touched by the ministry of Marie here at First Baptist Elon in our congregation and in our community through our senior adult team, through the FC Summers, then Celestial Sunday School classes, and through many other additional ministries that Marie was active and a part of. I can still see her sitting in the sanctuary where she sat every Sunday, and I just kind of picture her being there right there this morning in worship. Well, we want to help Marie celebrate her 100th birthday this year. So what we want you to do is we want you to flood Marie Wills with birthday cards this week. Now, I know the post office, some things are running behind today, and I've been asked this question already a couple times this morning. We want you to send birthday cards starting tomorrow. Put them and drop them in the mailbox. So hopefully Marie will be getting these cards over the next 4, 5, 6 days leading up to her birthday on February 7th. The address for Marie at Compass Healthcare is included on our bulletin today. You can also find it. We'll send it out by email. One thing that we're also trying to do, and we're still trying to work the logistics out on this, is that next Sunday afternoon, at 2 o'clock, we want to go to Compass Healthcare and sing happy birthday to Marie outside of her room. The problem is right now, we're not sure how logistically we can do this because of where her room is located. But hopefully, we're going to be able to work those details out in the next couple of days. So, if you would like to, and I would love to have a large group that gathers next Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at Compass Healthcare to sing happy birthday to Marie. But if you want to join us, more information will be sent out this week, by Wednesday definitely, to coordinate this birthday celebration. But if at the very least, please drop a birthday card in the mail to Marie, and hopefully she will feel celebrated on this special day that she'll be celebrating next Sunday. So thank you for being willing to participate in bringing joy, which is what we're talking about today, in bringing joy to one of our church members. As we transition now to our time of offertory prayer this morning, I hope that you will find time this week to go to the Lord in prayer and see how He may be guiding you to bring offering to the church as we continue to minister here at First Baptist Elon and minister in our community. So this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer, our ultimate provider, our great provider on a daily basis. Let us pray. Also, God, you sent Jesus to teach people firsthand the power of your love, the power of your grace, and the gift of joy. Jesus washed away unclean spirits and performed countless other miracles so that even the faithless would experience true joy. You call us to be mindful and vigilant of the extraordinary miracles that you continue to work in our lives today. May this offering this morning undergird ministries that shows others that your infinite love, grace, and joy is present for them this day as well. Father, we pray this and we bring this offering in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, this day. Amen.
For sure.
ladies. What a beautiful song. I don't think I've ever heard that song before. It is a gorgeous song, and thank you for bringing it to worship this morning. As we prepare to go to the Lord and to the Lord's word and scripture in our sermon this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer this day to prepare our hearts and to confess those things that are going on in our lives that we need to turn to Him this day. Let us pray. Almighty God, You have set before us the path, but we have so many times wandered on our own to try to find our own way. Sometimes we are like toddlers and we hear Your call and we come back. Other times we are children testing boundaries, ignoring Your call until fear finally makes us look back to You. And still other times in our lives we are full of youthful rebellion, demanding to be cut loose and set free, not knowing how much we still need to seek Your wisdom and guidance. But most of all, Father, too often we think we are adults and have figured it all out on our own, only to stumble and stray so far from You. Remind us this day, Father God, that we are always Your children, that we are never fully grown up in Your sight, and that we always have much to learn. Help us to seek You every single day, not just this day, but every single day, to acknowledge that we need You. We need Your wisdom and Your guidance in our life. And help us to return to the path and walk with You, the one that You have laid out before us and the one that You are guiding us down. We lift this prayer in the name of Christ, who is our companion on this journey of faith. We pray this day. Amen. As we begin and return to our time of worship and our time of scripture reading this morning, I again want to welcome you to First Baptist Elon. We want to thank you for joining us on this wet, cold day that the Lord has blessed us with. We hope you're finding warmth and dryness inside in your homes or wherever you're watching our worship service this day. My prayer is that your families enjoy the little bit of snow. We received a couple days, and there was actually a little bit of snow last night, but it quickly got washed away, and we pray that it did not prevent you from doing any of the things you got to do. We know that sometimes winter weather is wonderful to see, but then we have to deal with it for a couple days. It gets a little bit frustrating and annoying. So I pray that you were able to do everything you needed to do over the last couple days with this winter weather. This morning, we are going to continue our sermon series that I began a couple weeks ago, Bringing the Fruit in 2021. With our ultimate goal, and this is our goal, not just for these weeks that I preach on this, but for every single day for the rest of the year and hopefully for our lives, with our ultimate goal to make a tangible difference in this calendar year of 2021. Over the last 3 weeks, we have looked at the fruits of goodness. We have looked at the fruit of self-control. And we've looked at the fruit of peace in great detail, identifying ways that we can see how God is filling us up through the Holy Spirit with these fruits, and again, how we're called to go out and share those with the world. This morning, we once again turn our attention to a different fruit, one that I have actually preached about multiple times this past year. It's one that you will be reminded of, especially during the season of Advent, but also something that we should be reminded about every single day. It's a fruit, in fact, that should serve as a foundation piece of our faith when we begin our relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, we're going to look at the fruit of joy. There's something about growing plants that eventually produces fruits or vegetables for your family. When my family lived in Burlington before we moved to Elon about 5 years ago, my father and I had a garden box in my backyard at my home in Burlington. We planted many different crops there, tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, bell peppers, okra. What a wonderful garden. Every year it would produce more than we could possibly need, and we would share those with others. The time and effort that it takes to grow these plants was all worth it. At the time, you think, oh man, why am I doing this again this year? But in the end, when the plants finally produce that desired fruit, we know it's all worth it. I know many of our church family members do this every year as well. Some may have winter gardens as I speak at this time. I've seen many of your gardens on Facebook pages and on pictures you've shown me, or you've shared many of your heartful planting with us and my family through the years. But my question for those gardeners in our midst that are watching this morning or watching whatever you're watching this worship service is this. Have you ever tried to grow a pineapple? Now, you might be thinking that sounds a little bit ridiculous because we're not living in a tropical environment, which is where pineapples are usually grown. Don't they usually grow in places like Hawaii or the Caribbean, everywhere we imagine these beautiful beach scenes? That's where pineapples come from, right? Well, actually, according to a website on how to grow certain fruit, the pineapple, which is one sitting in front of me today, the pineapple is a fruit that can grow almost anywhere, not just in tropical environments. Pineapples are traditionally what are known as low-maintenance fruits. Don't we wish we were low-maintenance most of the time? Well, pineapple is a low-maintenance fruit, needing only a little bit of water and a little bit of soil, and they can grow in full sunlight or in partial shade. The website shared that all you really need is a pot or a tub, a little bit of soil, a little bit of water, and a little bit of sunlight, and you can grow your own pineapple. You can even grow one inside your home if you so choose. All you have to do is cut the top off a store-bought pineapple, like the one I have down here in front of us, like the ones, and all you have to do is cut the top off, plant it in a hole or a pot of soil, water it a little bit, and be ready for pineapple. And I'll say pineapple, multiple pineapples, because pineapples grow like weeds. They'll grow a lot. When you grow one pineapple, rarely do you get just one fruit. Now, this morning, I need to confess something. I have not grown the pineapples that sit in front of us this day. It did not happen. I love this sweet fruit. I love the taste of pineapple, but much prefer to pick them up at the grocery store, which is where these pineapples came from, and will order them in a restaurant when it's available on the menu as a side item to enjoy with my meal. However, just as pineapple can grow almost anywhere, so can the fruit of joy. We can have joy no matter the climate of life that we are in. However, you might be asking, just like you asked about the pineapple fruit, can you be joyful when you're struggling with daily life? Or can you be joyful when you're separated even from family members or friends during this time of the pandemic? Can you be joyful when you're struggling at work or at school or in your personal relationships? Can you have joy? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, you can. Even in situations like the ones just mentioned, we can be joyful because joy is a fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit in us, and the circumstances of life do not dictate when we have joy. God does. Think about that for a second. Joy is not defined by the circumstances, but instead, joy is defined and dictated by the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. This morning we are going to turn our attention in Scripture to the letter to the Hebrews to discover some insight from this fruit of joy. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. This morning, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 this morning. Now, I will go ahead and say, traditionally, when this scripture is oftentimes preached on or studied or read on, the focus goes to verse 1 and those that understanding of what it truly means to be this great cloud of witnesses. Who are they? But today, as we look at joy, instead of our focus being on verse 1, we're going to focus on verses 2 and 3 instead. Let's read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 together this day. The words will be on the screen behind me as we read, in case you would like to read it that way. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we think about these words from the letter of Hebrews, I think the first thing that we as Christians must recognize and understand about this is that the fruit of joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy and happiness are not the same thing, because happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is having coupons for every item you need on Monday morning when you go to the grocery store. That makes us happy. However, when we get rear-ended in the parking lot by the car next to us or sideswipes us, we're in that same grocery store, guess what? We're unhappy then. Happiness is receiving a good grade at the school on a test and getting praise from your teachers in one class. That's happiness. Unhappiness, however, is being criticized by our next teacher who said we didn't do very well on our writing assignment. Unhappy. Watching our favorite basketball team make a buzzer beater shot to win a game, that brings us happiness. However, that same team losing to their arch rival in the next game makes us unhappy. I'm kind of setting the scene because my team plays their arch rival on Saturday, and I'm not holding out much hope of how that's going to go. Pastor Sarah Haven stated it this way. Happiness hangs out at backyard barbecues and water parks, but it's an infrequent guest at funerals and in ER waiting rooms. You see, happiness is circumstantial. On the other hand, joy is completely different. Too many times we try to define joy as a feeling, something that's going on, feeling inside of us, but instead, joy is more like something that we know. In verse 2 of Hebrews 12, Jesus' joy comes from knowing that he was about to make peace between sinful humanity and our Heavenly Father. The presence of God in our lives is the true source of joy. Jesus did not feel happy when he anticipated the cross, taking the weight of our sins on his shoulders and dying the painful, gruesome death. That wasn't happiness. Scripture tells us that he was actually overwhelmed with sorrow. Just look at the word and the emotion poured out in the Garden of Gethsemane. However, even in sorrow, Jesus knew the joy of being in the presence of his Father and doing his Father's will. Happiness was not present, but joy definitely was. The pain of the cross brought Jesus joy with a purpose. It is at the foot of the cross that we can find the source of our joy. Pastor Paul Winland wrote this: if we can find God in the gallows, then we find him everywhere, even where everything is painful and makes no sense. I think that is how a lot of us have been experiencing the past year with COVID-19. We have personally experienced, or we tap into the experiences of others with the pain, doubt, and fear that overwhelms us. But even here, joy can be found and will be found in the presence of God. The pain and doubt we feel is not evidence of God's abandonment. It is a reminder that we are not in heaven yet, but with Jesus' presence in our lives and the Spirit's working through us,
we know where our ultimate destination will be. And for that reason, and for that reason alone, that's all we need, we can live in a state of joy. What else does this passage say about joy? The second thing I think we need to draw from these three verses from Hebrews is how we are called to approach the world with this fruit of joy. Even when we may be facing troubles in our lives, and I heard about some troubles just this morning, heard about them yesterday in phone calls and in time of prayer, our focus needs to be on Jesus' presence in our life. Many individuals, even Christians, feel and walk through their days without joy. Why is that? Why do they walk through their daily life without joy? We lose the internal experience of joy when we focus on the problems around us rather than God's presence and power within us. Our focus is on the out and not the in. Verse 2 in Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus." There's many songs that have been written with those words in it. This means more than just giving a passing glance at him, only to turn the other way. If we only throw a passing glance at Jesus, what we will never truly experience are the blessings that he has in store for us. We miss out on that joy. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What happens when we focus on Jesus? We realize that joy is not found, it is found in God's presence with us, and we start sharing joy with others. When our focus is on Jesus, it makes it a lot easier to share the fruit of joy with other people. The joy that is birthed through the Holy Spirit in our lives drives us to serve others. That joy wells up inside of us and it pushes us forward. And I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about true joy. Just as Jesus did. Over 330 times in the Bible, the words rejoice or be joyful are mentioned. It's in the Psalms. It's in the Proverbs. It's in the words and the actions of the tribes of Israel as they entered the Promised Land. It's in Paul's words, in the letters that he wrote from prison. Even in the description of the last days in Revelation, in each, joy is defined by our relationship with God and carries through to our relationship with humanity. So how can you share the fruit of joy with the others around us on a daily basis? Well, Sundays, how about singing our worship songs aloud with joy in your heart, no matter the circumstances of life, and no matter what our voices sound like, sing it with joy. Because whose ears does it really matter? It's God's. It's not ours. What about sending an unexpected greeting card to a friend or family member? One that you have not seen in a while or talked to in a while, thanking them for their impact on your life. That produces joy. What about cleaning out your wardrobe or closet of clothes and taking those extra items to the Salvation Army or the hospice store, knowing that those clothes will bring joy down the road? What about covering an extra hour at work for a coworker or a friend so that they can go home early to celebrate a birthday or an anniversary? That brings joy. The more ways that we can find to spread joy in the lives of others, the more we start to realize how close this fruit of joy and the other fruits that we have discussed so far are connected together. Notice that the acts of joy and the acts of goodness often work hand in hand or simultaneously with one another. Notice that the acts of joy birthed out of the Holy Spirit can bring peace not only to us, but to the lives of those around us. Notice that self-control feeds this joy. Recognizing that both are birthed out of the presence of God within us. If you haven't caught on to it yet, We're working on a fruit salad. We all love a good fruit salad. That's what our lives should look like. I actually was challenged by John Farnham last Sunday after worship. He said, you know, on the last Sunday, you're going to have to eat all these fruits at one time. I said, John, that won't bring much joy to my life. But our lives are all connected by this fruit. Sharing the fruit of joy is not a destination. It is a journey. When we look at the cross, we can see God's heart for us, and we can find the source of everlasting joy that can be displayed and shared with the rest of the world. If you are a fellow believer and struggling with joy in your life right now, I encourage you to reconnect with Jesus. Reconnect with that true source. Joy wanes and disappears in our life when we drift from Him. We take our eyes off Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you will find true joy. Joy is evidence of the presence of God in our lives. Joy is not defined by the circumstances or the events taking place around us, but by His presence inside of us. Live a life of joy, tapping into that ever-present joy and that ever-present source of true life as we seek to make an impact in the world in 2021. Who knows what the result might be? Just as the pineapple in front of me can grow in any environment with the appropriate nurturing, so too can joy grow in our lives and as a result in the lives of others if we're willing to give it the attention it deserves. Are you ready to live a life of joy today? That's the question I end with this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we recognize that in our lives, You are a source of so much. The Holy Spirit working in us, moving us, challenging us. Father, may we recognize that You are the true sense, source of joy in our lives. And it's always there. And when we turn our eyes upon You, we start to see that joy everywhere. And we start to share that joy with everyone and everywhere. That is our call this day, to fix our eyes upon Jesus and to see how He's going to move and work through our lives. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our true source of joy. Amen. As we turn to our closing hymn this morning, as we seek to honor and serve God in so many ways in our lives, maybe today for the very first time, you've recognized that you've been trying to depend on happiness too much instead of joy. If today for the first time you recognize that Jesus Christ is that source of joy in your life and you want to turn your life to Him, I encourage you to contact me here at the church via email, phone call, whatever it may be. Let me talk with you about what that true source of joy, what Jesus Christ means to you and how He can challenge you as you move out into this world. If you are looking for a church home, if you're looking for somewhere where you can gather to share that joy within the walls and outside the walls, First Baptist Elon is that place for you. Contact me this week and we can talk about how making you a part of this church family that seeks to grow fruit and share fruit in the world in which we live in. Or maybe just today. Maybe today you recognize that you are letting the circumstances around you define your actions and your emotions instead of focusing on the end where that true source of joy is. If that is you today, go to the board in prayer this morning. Go to your knees. Find your prayer closet, wherever it might be. And don't put it off. Return to that path, that journey. Turn your eyes upon Jesus because that's what Scripture says. And we'll see how the world can be changed. Let's make a difference in this world today. Let us all stand and sing our closing hymn. through your week this day, each and every day this week, I encourage you to share that gift of joy, the source that is inside of us, to see what a difference that we can make in this world. Start sharing that fruit. That's my challenge for you this week. And let us go in joy and peace.